The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is the sexy saying, Eric Jaden, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloids, one of the top wrestling podcasts out there.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
You know, I am one to say that I can be at one with my manhood and honestly tell you people that this week has been an emotional, basically an emotional roller coaster for me. I mean, you don't understand the waves of feelings, and just it's been ridiculous. Just sometimes I'm laying down and I'm almost near tears and I'm wondering if I can get through this. It gets difficult day by day having to figure it out, and things are just mounting up on top of each other. And then sometimes you got to let things go. And sometimes you got to, you know, move along and just find a way to piece it together. But this has just been really, really tough this past week. I mean, honestly, for me to go 1-3 in my fantasy football leagues has been fucking atrocious. Like, I just can't even deal with it anymore. It's awful. Every year I say to myself, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this thing anymore. And it just pulls me back in. I get angry. I get sad. I get frustrated. And what? Thought it was something else. I really enjoy fantasy football. It's my guilty pleasure. But the other things that's going on as well is, like, listen, super producer Sally just started high school. She's learning to travel, you know, on her own. Then her birthday's coming up, which is, it's just, my God. I've been secretly making a video for her birthday. You see, when she was 5, I made a video that's on my YouTube page, and I thought that this was the right time to update it with some new stuff on, and seeing as though that technology and programs have come so far since when I first did it on Windows Media Player. Remember that shit? I was able to finesse it a little bit more. So I added some new stuff. So I just going through it and the music and such, I was a wreck. I mean, I think I've cried already 3 times while making that fucking video. It's listen, you gotta be honest, man. You know, we were supposed to be these alpha men who are not supposed to be in touch with their feelings and not have any reasoning to break down and shed a tear and such. But nah, man, nah. When it comes to my child, I get very emotional, especially with big milestones and shit. It gets crazy. You get to see your child come from, you know, this little innocent, unknowing piece of human that you helped create when they come out of the womb and are brought into this world, and you're holding them in your arms and you're sitting there just not even thinking about what the fuck is going on around you in this day and age and time. And you look at them with such confusion because, yeah, the swelling of love and happiness is there, but then it's also this mindset in which you go, holy shit, I'm a father. And it just becomes this whole emotional blender of just feelings that go on, and time goes and progresses, and you see this little piece of human just grow and walk and talk and begin to make connections and relationships with others, and you're watching the development and the growth and the personality, and you're in awe because there's a little piece of you, a little piece of this, a little piece of that, and they all take all those elements and mash it together and mush it, and it just becomes them. And then the development of their minds to their surroundings of what's going on in the world and what they see, their behavior, their connections, their disconnect. And you look at how much it's a reflection of not only you, but of themselves, that is going to be emulated out to those around them. I get misty-eyed each time when I think about what super producer Sally has gone through and where she's come from to where she is now at 14. And it's a scary, scary world. For many of us, we might not remember it, but you know, this day and age, it's not like how it used to be for us. I try to explain to people that, you know, as much as I sit there and go, wow, you know, these kids need to fucking toughen up. You know, all this cancel culture shit and all this fucking, this pussifying the world. It's not the way that we came up. But none of you guys even are remotely able to comprehend and understand what a world we live in these days, the cruelty that we live in. From natural trollers now to social media becoming the antithesis of what gives these kids their notoriety, their feeling of belonging, their connection. As much as you wanna block that out with the world from them, there's always that draw because it's another way of being accepted. It's different for me because my world of acceptance came from always performing, being a clown, showing that I was smarter than others or that I had some kind of wit and intellect. And if people didn't gravitate to it, I really didn't give a fuck because I was one of those that really didn't care about having to make these long-standing friendships. It was cool for me to be alone. I could sit in my room and play video games all day by myself, smoke a blunt, whatever the fuck it was that I was doing, drink a beer, and just be cool that way. I only wanted to perform. It's almost like that sad clown example. I always said that my circle of friends was small because I never wanted to have a large array of friends because that's where always calamity and conundrums happen when it's just too much. That was my theory. But these days is different for these kids. These kids, it's all about the acceptance, the likes, the follows, the views, being able to have someone come up to them and tell them, yo, I saw your post the other day, or be called out by their name tag on their social media. It's not an easy world for them to live in these days. Because although we want to sit there and shield them and tell them that shit doesn't matter, but for them, that's their world of acceptance. That's just how they motivate and move themselves these days. I get overly, overly protective because I know how shifty this world is. I know how this world moves and manipulates those, especially for females. It's just one of those sleazy types of relationships with a certain aspect of the world and in communities that we tend to forget that, you know, there are individuals out there who are the lowest in the world. And I have to sit there and fight my ambitions and my ways to not be overly protective because I know I have to open up and let her be her. You know, it's tough for me to actually sit there and say, I got to share you with the world because I can't be selfish and leave you to me. And now that she's becoming a maturing, you know, intelligent and a beautiful soul inside and out young woman, I know that she has to be ready to take on what's coming. And daddy won't be behind you. Daddy will be right by you, side by side, going with you the whole way. She is my reason. She is my life. She is my my purpose. And I get touched up every time because I always say, I can't believe somebody intentionally wanted me to get them pregnant. This wasn't a boo-boo.
it wasn't a slip up. It's not like I didn't wear a condom and I didn't pull out in time or the condom broke. No, this was someone wanted me to create life. And even through the ups and downs and the lows that occurred and separations, and that kid was stoic and she held it down. On the days when I didn't know how I was going to keep it together and such, she smiled and no-sold it, because I learned later on that she would go to school and tell her friends of how much she was hurting and how things that were happening at her own home were affecting her. And I didn't learn about this until later, because the kid no-sold it to me. Now we fast forward. Super producer Sally is now 14. And although we go through the growing pains of, you know, you get a teenager now, they want to do their own thing, mingle with their own friends, have their own time and such. And I do miss those days when she would run to me and hug me and call me daddy and want to lay down next to me. You do get those glimmer of moments to where that they still want your protection. They still want your attention. They still need you. And I'm happy each and every time to give her that time when she's ready. Because like I said, I can't keep her for myself anymore. I have to share her now. So it's going to be tough. But like I said, daddy's going to be right next to you each step of the way. We're going to get through this, kid. This cold climate in which we live in, there is that glimmer of hope that you give me that humanity will turn out to be just like you. So happy birthday, kiddo. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I am your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Sante. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like group pages on Facebook. Make sure you check us out at Turnbuckle Tab on Instagram, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And be sure you check us out on the YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Also, check us out on all the podcasting outlets. Check us out on iHeart, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you can find podcasts. We're available. We're everywhere. Just Google search us. Go on whatever search engine that you have and just look up Turnbuckle Tabloid and we'll pop up. There's no way that you can't find us on any of these podcasting outlets. But if not, always go to RageWorksNetwork.com. RageWorksNetwork.com has everything under the sun pertaining to the world of RageWorks. I mean, why go anywhere else when it comes to the greatest of what we're doing here in the podcasting world? We have everything you want. Toys and techs. We have Trek Untold. We have, you know, Turnbuckle Tabloid. We have everything you guys want. Why go anywhere else when it comes to the podcasting? But also, check out the website, which is RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net has everything that you guys want to connect with when it comes to the world of pop culture. Movies, TV shows, video games, comic books is all covered on that spectrum in which we love, enjoy, and are part of. We here at RageWorks.net tell you guys, we got reviews, previews, and upcoming events. So guys, be there, be square, be a part of the world of RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net, we do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. As I sip on my ginger ale. So went out and bought NBA 2K22. Haven't played it yet. I've been somewhat busy putting together shows, doing a project for Sally's birthday and such, and had some people passing through and wanted to hang out and shit, take up some time, so I wasn't able to get down and play some ball. Yeah, but I'll give you guys an understanding of that when it happens. Probably next week, you guys will listen to my critique about that. Also, everything else has just been consistently just trying to add more content and build more stuff to the show. Not much of an opening salvo this week. I think I just spilled my guts out as much as I did a little while ago. So I as for that, this week has just been whatever. And my fantasy football made a turn this week. So there is an upswing, ladies and gentlemen. So let's cut to the chase. Wrestling rundown. Big stories up down the line. This fucking Dark Side of the Ring really did a number on a few wrestlers in the industry. Did it, though. I'm confused about all this and a lot of other fucking aspects that went down. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about as well the presentation, the look, the feel, what people's thoughts about was NXT 2.0. We'll also discuss possible changes coming along the line in the world of WWE, as well as new arrivals and new promotions. We're going to be seeing possible another contract ending sooner than we thought. Really, then we also get our new signings and much, much more. Also, we go around the square circle, discuss what happened during the week of wrestling, what we watched, what we listened to, and much, much more. So, guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Stick around. I'm going to take a sip of my ginger ale and wipe my tears because I'm still an emotional wreck. Check you guys in a second.
What's going on, everybody? Tony G here, better known to the world as Josie's Boy, a.k.a. your girl's favorite artist. And today I'm here to tell you about my company, Painting in Blue. Painting in Blue is a creative house I established in 2017, and we specialize in handmade custom leather goods. We coined the term luxury minimalism because we believe even in your everyday life, no matter how much running around you have to do, you can still stand out and be fly. We create everything from luxury handbags to wallets and some of the best leathers you can find that you would love to carry on a day-to-day basis. So if you believe in looking fly while you handle your business while pushing fashion forward, make sure you guys go to paintinginblue.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at _PaintedInBlue on Instagram and on Facebook at PaintedInBlue.
This is comedian Kyle Lewis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid's Wrestling Rundown brings you the realest and raw opinions from two opinionated assholes in the wrestling podcasting game.
And that's the bottom line. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Quirks or their ridiculous ways or their disgusting habits and whatever. Everyone has their vices. The one pet peeve that I have about people, one thing in particular is when people don't pay attention to something that you do consistently, but yet still fuck up the actions that you do or titles or the, for instance, if you were if you keep telling people that you're a runner and you do 4 minute mile, and you consistently tell these people, "I'm a runner, I do a 4 minute mile," and then the next time a person sees you and they're like, "Oh, how's that jogging going along? Are you doing are you still running 10 minutes a mile?" Like, no, I keep telling you people, I run a 4 minute mile. Everyone knows, especially on social media, I post anything about Selly, S-E-L-L-Y. Constantly, it's addressed as Selly or hashtag Selly's World, or whatever the case may be. Selly. But I still get people who still feel the need to add an H in there and call her Shelly. And it's, I'm telling you right now, I posted something about her and underneath, and it says the name, Selly. And they sure enough find a way to add an H and make her Shelly. Guys don't pay attention? Like, what the hell? And it's 14 years I've been doing this. It's not like I just started this. It's 14 years. Jesus. Maybe it's spell check. Maybe it's like that their keyboards are not allowing them to spell Shelly. It's like, did you mean Shelly? No. Fix that shit. Especially if you're going to address my kid. Damn it. What a world. You see how little that was? That's such a minute thing to have as a peeve, but yet it just fucking enraged me. It's just ridiculous. I guess it's because it's my child. But other than that, it's like, I really don't have that much. Well, maybe. I have to do a checklist. I have to do a rundown to see exactly if I have a lot of pet peeves. So in honor of the late, great comedian and best SNL anchor of Weekend Update of all time, Norm MacDonald. Oh, man, that one hurt, man. And it was so fucking crazy because on the day of his passing on my timeline for Facebook, my memories, there was a post that I shared on Twitter. Mind you, I don't really Twitter. If you guys see anything that goes down with Turnbuckle Tabloid, it's not from me directly. I have outside bodies who work Twitter because I'm not a Twitter person. But in this moment in particular, it was early on, it was about like 7 years ago, I tweeted to Norm MacDonald because I was a fan of him on this Fox show where he was he had his own sports show. And I loved it because the man was not only was he hilarious on it, but he was also a huge sports fan. And I would only click into onto the Fox show for sports or his show, and then they canceled it. So I tweeted him, it was disappointing that Fox dropped him, and he responded, and I fucking marked out. I would have never thought that he would have done that. And it was immediate, too. Like, I was like, holy shit. And I shared it. And the day that happened was the day that he died. And I was like, holy shit. I felt so bad. I felt so, but it sucks. The man is fucking, if you guys have not watched his stand-ups or any of his appearances on shows and talk shows or whatever, I have to say, maybe his taste is not for everyone. But to me, it was fucking pure comedy gold. So, and in honor of the late, great Norm MacDonald, I'm Jay Santee, and this is your Weekend Update in wrestling news. So, starting off this week, we've already spoken about the transition that's occurring in on NXT 2.0. Oh, that's so fucking gross saying. It's like fucking cleaning a fucking baby's ass after shits and it's all over the place. Fucking 2.0. So we've already heard the rumblings of what's going down with the title. We already saw that Tommaso Ciampa is now the NXT champion, and Samoa Joe had to relinquish the belt due to undisclosed injuries in which WWE is not medically clearing him. What the fuck does that mean? I thought that it was going along the ways of them wanting to go younger and putting the strap on. Oof. Ooh, excuse me. Ooh, turn the soul. Too much ginger ale, ladies and gentlemen. I thought they were going the route of going younger with the title, but they gave it to Ciampa. Ciampa's not a young egg. So that didn't happen that way. I'm hoping that this turns to be where Joe did his duty. He gets his one shot at the title when he comes back, and then he's bounced. And it's either going to be give one more run on the main roster or else let him be comfortable with the new roles that he's going to have, which is possibly scouting talent or whatever. But, you know, honestly, in this day and age, who the fuck knows with this promotion anymore? Honestly, who the fuck knows? This is just it's more of the dumbing down of what the fuck is going to happen with the future of this company. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Shut your mouth, you thong wearing fatty.
Bobby Fish, since we were talking about the releases and possibility of other individuals in wrestling, Bobby Fish will make his MLW debut at next month's Opera Cup. If you guys don't know Major League Wrestling, check it out. You can find snippets on YouTube. They're also on I believe they were on Vice. I have to check to see if they're still on Vice, but I usually find the clips on YouTube. That's where I watch my MLW. So check out Bobby Fish making his debut there. This is a good look. You know, everybody always has this thought about, oh, you know, everybody's going to go to AEW. They're really not, though. And we're going to discuss that soon, because after what occurred this past week on a certain program, it doesn't look like a lot of motherfuckers are going to be making it to AEW. Because if that occurs, then we generally will know that Khan and the rest of the clan over there are a bunch of fucking hypocrites. But we'll get to that bridge when we cross it. Next up, we got the Gargano. Gargano apparently is part of another these individuals in the world of WWE that they have no idea how to coincide with people's contracts and know who's a what's and how that's happening there. Apparently, Johnny Gargano's contract is up in December of this year, and that's gonna be interesting. That is I think he's one of those guys that he's going to find a way, or they're gonna find a way to make a deal for him. I think they like him. I think it makes more sense for him to stay with them, if not on the lower card with NXT, with their developmental, but on their possible push on the main roster. I think that knowing this fucking company, right, they will be the type, knowing that he and his wife are having a child, that they would still fucking release him. They don't give a shit. I would not be surprised if that fucking happened. This fucking company is the worst when it comes to situations like that. Hell, remember, they fired fucking Punk on his wedding day.
Why, look at what we have here, folks!
Another signing on the horizon, and it's a good one. Mercedes Martinez has landed at Impact Wrestling. That's a good look for them over there. She'll be a good look and a great boost to that woman's roster. You know, they just recently lost Kira Hogan to AEW. So her landing there makes perfect sense. You know, if they continue to make signings that way, it'll help that promotion become a little bit more legitimate. There's already the discussion with Braun going there, which makes sense as well. Braun Strowman going there. It's a feasible signing for the future for other talents to go that way. I don't think that it's necessarily needed for AEW to swap up everyone, because all you're going to be doing is basically be WWE 2.0 trying to rack up the indies. Now you're just trying to hoover up and vacuum suck everyone in from WWE. So no, I think it's a smart move for her to make that transition to Impact. Hopefully we get more signings that way, and people will pay a little bit more attention to what's going on over there.
Rest in peace.
Recently released wrestler from NXT, Jake Atlas, has recently stated on his social media accounts that he's walking away from wrestling. Is he, though? I mean, as the saying goes, do wrestlers really retire? Just paraphrasing, Atlas says he needs to take time off. He needs to get his mind right. He's one who has said that he suffered from depression and bouts of mental illness. WWE had helped him with that and some therapy along the way, which he was grateful for. But he thinks right now this is a moment in time in which he needs to walk away and reflect on what his future is going to be. He says he's happy with the decision that he's made, and he's hoping for prosperity in his life and other aspects in his world. So good for him. Not many people know how to come to grips with that. He'll be back, though.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
Oh, Rick. Rick. We'll get to you in a second, sir. PCO is leaving ROH in November. You guys don't know who PCO is. He's that fucking lunatic who been tearing up the indies for the past 5 years. Showed up at Ring of Honor. He's a former world champ. And it's probably in his mid-50s right now. Pierre Ouellette, as many of you guys would know, he was that pirate-looking fucking wrestler back in the WWE earlier days and shit. And he ended up just changing his whole career around. The motherfucker was sticking fucking motor oil in his mouth and jumper cables connected to a car battery and shit. He was doing some fucking insane shit and rejuvenated his career. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. But it seems as though that his run with Ring of Honor will be coming to a close in November. So, hopefully this is maybe a moment in which we can say goodbye, but knowing him, he'll probably just go find another fucking another company and tear his shit up over there. That guy's a nut job.
You're fired.
Seems as though that there might not be any validity to the Adam Cole, Keith Lee story. We spoke about it here on the show a couple of weeks ago, where there was a discussion on Adam Cole becoming Keith Lee's manager, being more of a voice box than a wrestler when if he would come into the main roster. And there were talks that this is probably one of the reasons why he left. But it turns out that Adam Cole revealed that he never heard any such story. He didn't know any of had any inkling of this occurring. So yeah, apparently that this wasn't on his radar. He pretty much mentioned that the whole Twitch thing and the releasing of his friends kind of played into it. So yeah, there might not be any weight to that story there, gents.
Y2J is telling you, if you can't say something entertaining, then shut the hell up!
So, I want to make a clarification before I get into the main event of the wrestling rundown of this week, because it ties up so many shit with what occurred this past week. So, last week on Wrestling Rundown, I discussed the PWI's 500. In that discussion, I brought up Meltzer. What I failed to do in that conversation was make the disconnect with Meltzer and PWI. Just for clarification, Meltzer is from Wrestling Observer. PWI is a different magazine, a different promotion, publication. My reasoning for my rant, which I usually go into, which I'm about to go into in a minute, with Meltzer, is the fact that he's influential in a case that where his thoughts and opinions aren't just stable on Wrestling Observer. His thoughts and opinions translate and ripple effect through the masses of wrestling publications and such. So I was trying to make the correlation with Meltzer and his way of thinking to those who are in the same field as he is, or in the same thought process and spectrum of him. It was never in the intention of saying that he's involved with PWI, the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, or that he is in control of that. It wasn't that. It was more along the line that he's more of an influence than spearheading what needs to be the, I guess, rankings or listings of these wrestlers. I just find it very peculiar that it just so happens that we will make Kenny Omega Wrestler of the Year or somewhat or such things, but yet you're going to make him the PWI top wrestler of all for the past year or so. He has his finger on the pulse of douchery when it comes to lists and people who are influenced in getting motherfuckers over in wrestling. So that's pretty much my thoughts about that. Speaking of Meltzer, there was an article that went out, and I was tagged in this, and I was like, why do people tag me in such fucking buffoonery and such ridiculousness? Why do you tag me in such... This is a fucking reach. So, I got this from, not Ringside News, because, well, that publication is shit. Let me drink my ginger ale first. I was like, I believe this is from Wrestling Inc. It says, according to Meltzer, AEW fans make more money and have a higher education than WWE fans. Right then and there, I read that and I was like, what the fuck is this? What is the meaning of this? Why is this a fucking topic? So apparently, as I... And I quote, one of them is that the youngest skewing wrestling show on television. And he noted that most of the weeks, they're the younger skewing sports show on television. Many weeks they are in them or in soccer. And during the NBA season, there are weeks when it's the NBA and it's mostly the NBA, AEW, and international soccer. The other is that the AEW is the most affluent in median income, median family income, and also the highest percentage of college educated audience. People can get mad at that too. What the fuck does that even mean? My fucking head just started frying when I read that. What does that even fucking mean? And this and that's an actual quote. What the fuck does that mean? I fail to see what purpose that made to even fucking mention that. Then this conversation goes, all right, let's look at it like this. All right. If this was even something that was relevant, like if anyone really gave a fuck about this, you're talking about education, college, or the case may be. The two shows are not geared or targeted to the same people. It's a ridiculous claim. Then you talk about economically. How does that even make sense? Because are we not seeing ticket prices for WWE as opposed to AEW? For you to fucking buy tickets for WWE at their range, you would have to be middle class or upper middle class to buy these tickets. It's insane for you to even make this stupid comparison. It makes no logical sense of or reasoning to do this. Once again, it's just one of those aspects and feelings of, oh, man, let's put AEW over, but we've already tried to put it over in other ways, so what would be another way to do it and piss some people off? Oh, let's just say about the education and their economic status. That'll really fucking teeter people off. It's a ridiculous claim and statement. Who the fuck cares? It's so stupid. It's time! Leading up to the main event for this week's Wrestling Rundown, we discuss the plane ride from hell. Dark Side of the Ring recently aired their episode of I believe I think it was their season three. I think that's what it is. Yeah, their debuting season three episode, and it started off with the plane ride from hell. Many of us in wrestling fans have heard the story numerous times. For those who aren't in the loop, in the early 2000s, WWE made a trip across the pond and was in Germany and England and such. And I believe one of the, if I'm not mistaken, one of the big shows was the pay-per-view Insurrection in London. And in this foray of wrestling bookings and such, they had to travel from country to country. WWE, Vince McMahon, chartered this humongous fucking private jet and had all the accoutrements of leisure and such. Big money plane. So in this trip, and this is the trip returning home, the wrestlers entertained themselves with a vast amounts of liquor. Watch the episode of Dark Side of the Ring to basically get the whole spiel of what happened. With that came backlash because there were certain activities that occurred that were not looked upon very kindly in this day and age. There was a big blowback to this episode, especially discussing the actions of Ric Flair, Tommy Dreamer, who basically brushed off the incident as though it was just shenanigans. RVD mentioning a certain cocktail known as H-bombs, where a certain medication was mixed with alcohol. It'll be known to knock people out. Could be considered a date rape drug as well. And there was a lot of backlash from social media about this, especially in part with Tommy Dreamer and Ric Flair. As for the Ric Flair situation, Ric Flair is getting heat because apparently Ric is known to walk around in his fabulous robes and such with no clothes on underneath and exposing himself to everyone around him. Another aspect of it was that he brushed up against a flight attendant and made sexual advances to her. Now, in the episode, many individuals who were on this plane ride from hell were either suspended, released, or taken off TV for some time. Dustin Runnels was penalized because he made an ass of himself on the plane because of making endearing actions to his then, well, at that moment, divorcing wife, Terry Runnels. So he sang a country love song to her, and they said it was pretty sad. But he also was leaving like chew tobacco in the back of the chairs and such. Then you had Scott Hall, who's also getting heat because apparently he was, I guess, quote unquote, H-bombed, and he made advances to the woman as well, and that became a problem. Hell, let's just say this became just a fucking clusterfuck of buffoonery and ridiculousness. Any case, so story was told on Dark Side of the Ring, and everybody in the social media world who was a wrestling fan and watched this had their issues with it. Once again, this is a tale that's been told many, many, many times. Hell, it was even a story time on WWE Network. They did an animation covering it. And no one took umbrage with this. Then, once you started hearing tales of who got suspended, who got released because of all this, the question is asked, what happened with Ric Flair? Why didn't he get pressed? And Jim Ross said, and, you know, point blank that he doesn't know why. He's untouchable. Nobody made a mention of it. Nobody said anything about it to him. And this caused an outrage with many in the wrestling world. So, of course, here's my take on it. As I mentioned earlier, this day and age, when it comes to social media, it gives voice to the voiceless, to those who couldn't say much in the past because they didn't have an outlet to. With these forums now, everybody has their opinions and their feelings shared with the world, to the masses. And everyone's granted to it. Yes, there was some shit that went down that shouldn't have went down. Yes, this is something that happened some time ago, and it was a different time, a different era. Things weren't viewed upon the same way. These were just looked as shenanigans that went down. It's a norm in wrestling. Hell, you've probably even heard stories and tales of this, even in all aspects of entertainment, sports, Hollywood, music, whatever. We've all heard these tales. Rock stars have done countless acts that are similar or probably even more reckless than this. And there's no excuse for it. I look at it and I hate to be like this, sitting on the fence, looking at two sides of this. It's just one of those things to where we have to see ourselves as we were 20 years ago, as we are now. 20 years ago, I was not the same guy that I am now. 20 years ago, I was 25 years old, was still running around doing stupid shit. I just moved out of my block, got into my neighborhood, my new neighborhood. Yeah, doing reckless shit, drinking during the week when I knew I had to go to work, having company come over at reckless times of the night. I was doing bullshit that I shouldn't have been doing. I did grow from a teenager to my mid-20s, but I was still reckless. I was still doing stupid shit. You can't judge me as a man now as I was 20 years ago. It's a different platform. I try to live my life and tell people that I don't have any regrets, because without any regrets, it wouldn't have formed me to shape me as the man that I am now. Although I've had my responsibilities and such back in the days, I was still doing dumb shit. Still caught out there doing stupid shit. So that doesn't make me a mark or a measure of a man that I am now. Only through time, experience, and education, wisdom, it forged me to be what I am now. To judge me 20 years ago is to not know me at all. I believe the same could be said with many of these wrestlers, because many of them were young. Many of them were involved in doing dumb shit. Many of them were still new to the life of money and notoriety and popularity. And a lot of them were involved in instances, love lives, romance, pharmaceuticals, in which they shouldn't have. And some have learned and progressed and grew from that time. Now, look at the case of Rick, right? And this was like one of those things, too, once again, where people say, well, you know, Ric Flair is going to be Ric Flair. That's all it is. And we've all done this with our own friends, where we say, well, you know, Bobby's always going to be Bobby. He's going to be that jerk off regardless of what it is. If he hadn't changed 20 years ago, then he's not going to change now. But that's the problem. And this is why you try to disconnect with individuals like that, when you don't associate yourselves with these dudes, with these individuals that are in your circle. You need to start cutting a lot of that bullshit off. I know friends that I grew up with who still stuck in that same hood mentality, and we don't communicate. We see each other on a peripheral and we say what up, catch up, how's everything going, and then keep it moving. That's just how life is, because I don't have that same mentality as you do. Now, in the case of Rick is with the company, and you know, you're in these confined quarters of this plane ride, and you got, you know, this is the shit that you do, and you've already condoned his history of being him, because by this time, Rick is 50 something years old, and this is going down. This is not a kid anymore. He's not a kid. He's 50 years old. So maybe 25, 30 years, they've been allowing Rick to be Rick for this long. And you would think Rick would know better, but he's a 50-year-old man that's been able to do it for so many years, and nobody pulled his card about it. Nobody's going to say shit to him. So then you get what Tommy Dreamer mentioned, where he made his comment to where, you know, this is just shenanigans. This is just, it was no malicious intent. Everything was just a joke. It's all joking. Yeah, we know that in those quarters we do, because if you with your boys and, you know, stupid jokes or language is used in close quarters with your peoples, that's one thing. Everybody knows that that's how it is. But as soon as you move out of that demo and you start involving other peoples who don't know the joke, who aren't on the inside, who aren't aware of that's what happens in the locker room or in a flight over the fucking Atlantic, then you're inviting yourself to trouble, because they don't know the joke. They don't know that's how it's involved, and people will get offended by it. If I go to somebody's house and I'm not in on a joke, I'm either going to be pissed off, upset, or I'm getting the fuck out. If there's a joke that's going around that I don't know, then I'm thinking that it's involved me or it affects me. Or it could be damaging to myself. A joke, a behavior, whatever. That it's just what it is. I've even encountered that recently, and I took to heed to what it was, and learned from it, and found my way to not be involved in that anymore. But in this situation, this was all business, and with Rick doing what Rick does, he involved these flight attendants, you know, and. Once again, this is an individual that's not in the loop. And mind you, these are all allegations. These aren't it's all based on these stories. You know. But what happened is that now we're in a climate to where everybody is with this cancel culture thought process and such. I'm not a fan of cancel culture. I'm really not, because once you start canceling your history of what occurred, you're trying to erase the past, and you shouldn't be erasing the past. What you need to do is learn from it and correct it. It's not erasing it. I don't want to be penalized for something I said when I was fucking 30 years old, as opposed to what I am as a 45-year-old man. Why would you do that? Like I said, we don't know who we are until we start becoming more of ourselves later on in life. 30 years old. What the fuck would I know? And the same could be said about the climate that was happening there. Undertaker even spoke about it in his conversations, where he doesn't understand the culture that's happening now in wrestling, where a lot of these guys aren't like it used to be back in the days. They used to be in the back drinking, having a good time, playing cards, chilling before a match. And these days, everybody's in the back on their social media playing fucking video games and such. And the climate has changed. It's a different time now. Because the young have now progressed of what they've known from that time to what it is now. And this cancel culture shit is just doing, it's just all these liberal fucking cleansing, and some conservative as well, because, man, a lot of this shit is conservative as well, too. It's this cleansing
of a past that we can say that we should never make mistakes, that we can't make mistakes. We're not allowed to. We don't do that. Then I'm on the opposite side too, where you get motherfuckers who so anti-cancel culture that they're not even realizing how it affects them in the long run or in their livelihood. I've seen a few people who sit there and go, fuck this cancel culture bullshit. Fuck that. Well, everybody's a bunch of softies and a bunch of pussies. And I go, okay, there might be a point to that. But there's also a level to it to where, let's say if it comes to sexual allegations, when it comes to mentions of possible encounters that were forced when it comes to a man and a woman or whatever the case may be. But you're not taking into consideration that, what if that was your kid? What would have been, that would have been your daughter, your son, or who had to endure that trauma? What would have been your thought process of hearing 20 years ago that your daughter was on a plane ride and a certain wrestler or wrestlers were inappropriate to her and it could have went wrong quickly? Would you have said, oh, that's 20 years ago, that's in the past? No, it would have pissed you the fuck off that somebody fucking pressed your daughter that way, or your son, or anyone in that matter. You're not going to sit there, well, you know, it's a different. No, you're going to be fucked. He did what? Because as a father, that's what you're supposed to do. We don't sit there and just say, well, you know, that was the culture. No, fuck that. That's your fucking kid. But you're not taking in consideration because it's not yours. It's not your own. It's different. Oh, you know, people need to get over this bullshit because, you know, this person had a hiccup in the time. No, your hiccup was more than, it wasn't a hiccup that was just a passing of egg. This was consistent because, like I mentioned with Rick, people allowed it to happen. And we could say a lot of wrestlers who've been called out on it now these days, but it's because of individuals around them who allowed it to happen. They knew of it. They were aware of it and they allowed it to happen. Yes, cancel culture is wrong. Yes, I'm not a fan of it. I do not want to erase history. I do not erase. You don't erase a person's past because it's either molding them to who they are, or it's forging them forward, or we're not sitting there and correcting it and correcting them. So no, I'm not a fan of cancel culture. But there's an ownership and being held to accountability of what you did was wrong. I'm not a man who likes to apologize, but when I need to, I will. Because if I know I'm wrong, then I am wrong. Tommy Dreamer released a statement saying he apologized for his comments and his stuff that he's mentioned about it. And, you know, was it due because he was suspended indefinitely from Impact? Possibly. Would it hurt his bookings? Possibly. I didn't think that he should have been targeted because all he's at fault at is, once again, just being an enabler to a behavior that we've all known for years. That's all that's my issue with it. So should he have been penalized for it? No, I don't think so. I don't believe he should have. Scott Hall. We all knew Scott had his demons. Who's not to say that Scott was so fucking high and drugged up that his actions, it wasn't even conscious of. He wasn't even conscious of it. How many of you guys have been so fucking drunk, blacked out, that you don't even fucking remember what you did before you fucking went to sleep? You realize when you woke up, he's like, how the fuck did I get on the couch with my pants down? There's been a minute. Thankfully, in my case, there hasn't been many moments for that, but I've had my moments where I've been blacked out before, didn't realize what the fuck happened. Now, am I going to sit there and say that's justifiable? No. But, you know, who's to say that he wasn't age-bombed? Who's to say that he was, you know, he was fucking so blasted out of his mind that he had no idea what was going on? Is there accountability? Yeah, there's accountability for it. And yeah, he should recognize that, and he should acknowledge that, you know, that was the time of his life in which he was really fucked up, and make it, you know, if he wants to make apologies for it, that's up to him. But I look at Rick's statement, and Rick, 73, 74 year old man, Rick is not even fucking making any mention of an apology or any kind of a remorse for what he did. He's already saying that he's got receipts for motherfuckers if they talk shit about it. If he's got to drop names, he's going to drop names. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Because if you continue to allow a person for 70, well, you know, not 70 years, about, let's say 50 years in the business to be Rick and not pull Rick on his shit, then Rick is not going to be apologetic, and he's going to bring a whole line of motherfuckers who's going to sit there and believe that they can do the same thing. And that's the problem. That's where the problem lies. And that's why we have all these issues with this cancel culture bullshit. Because nobody can sit there and own up to say to themselves, you know what? What I did in the past was fucked up. It's wrong. But, you know, it's just what it is. And, you know, can't change it. What am I going to do? It just from those moments, it taught me to be a better person because that behavior has changed. And I'm not that anymore. And it sucks on all spectrums because you see it on comedy. You see it in comedy. You see it in TV shows. You see it in movies and such that we don't have that line of openness anymore because we don't sit there and are comfortable with having that sense of subject matter anymore. We're a little bit out of whack and out of line or in tune to our little darker side. But when it comes to a behavior like this, once again, own up to it. Be accountable. If you don't want to apologize, you don't have to apologize. Just say, hey, yo, it was a different era. This is what it was. But now Rick is talking about taking receipts. That's crazy. And by the way, let's not sit there and hold Dark Side of the Ring accountable because motherfucker signed off on it. Y'all signed a waiver to say, yo, yeah, y'all can use this footage. You can use all this shit. So don't blame Dark Side of the Ring. You knew what the content was and you knew it was going to be a problem. Hell, JR even said it. I was responsible for these men, for these men and women, being the VP of talent. And I can't cover everybody. And I'm holding myself accountable for not being able to. He owned up to it. And that's all that really matters. Owning up to past behaviors. Don't have to be apologetic for it. Don't have to apologize for it. Have some sense of remorse. Have some sense of growth. Have some kind of conveying to the viewers and the listeners that you've grown. So no, I don't believe in cancel culture. I don't even believe that this whole shit with Tommy Dreamer and Scott Hall and RVD or any of those guys, or even Brock Lesnar with him exposing himself. Hell, fucking why the fuck Dustin Runnels didn't beat the shit out of Brock for showing his dick to fucking Terry Runnels. But he didn't. But as for the case for Rick, I say for Rick, own up to your shit and stop ready to pull out receipts and call out names for bullshit. But that's going to close out Wrestling Rundown, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, we'll have Around the Square Circle and much to talk about on that spectrum. So go on, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Check you guys in a sec. You know it's all about the power. See, how is it that they make good music like this and they ain't giving that shit for Daniel Bryan? Ugh, I don't know. So bothersome when I still get troubled when I hear that fucking Daniel Bryan theme. So ugly. Ugh. Round the Square Circle, ladies and gentlemen. This segment of Round the Square Circle was brought to you by VXS Wrestling. VXS Wrestling. Violence and Suffering presents to you its LA debut. You guys, September 30th. Guys will be out there at Cali doing the big things for Machiavelli. Make sure you check them out. Tickets are available still at eventbrite.com, and it will be live on Fight. You have Rocky Romero versus Jordan Oliver. You have the man himself, Willie Mack versus Alex Zane, making his return back into the indie scene. Quest versus Blackwood, JTG versus Chris Bay, and much, much more. So check out our friends, our peoples, our family at VXS Violence and Suffering Wrestling, Machiavelli. September 30th, 8 p.m. start time, Pacific time. Remember that
for guys in the East Coast, that means it'll be at 11 o'clock for us. So make sure you check those guys out there. So, yeah. Leading up to Around the Square Circle, just quickly, just going to go through the quick overviews of what we watched and listened to in wrestling. Cornette had his moments this week. He discussed his thoughts about Gargano being released, and he's still pondering and wondering why someone would hire that clown. Yikes, I wouldn't even go that severe. Shit. Conversations of Hulk Hogan being a liar, the many tales of Hulk Hogan. And I've always found this fascinating because we've heard stories about this for years of Hogan stretching the truth. No, it was not even stretching the truth. They said he's a bald-faced liar. One of the lies that was told that he was considered the lead for the movie The Wrestler. You know, the one that Mickey Rourke did? That he was the one for the lead character. But he couldn't do it due to schedule conflictions. And the director of the movie said, no, Hogan was never in the running for that. But there's many, 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 many stories of Hogan bullshit. So check out Cornette for that. Was listening to some of Eric Bischoff's 83 Weeks this week as well. He just basically did a recap and overview of what's still going down with the introduction to the NWO, the first year in, and his thoughts on how, once again, WWE is just, you're basically giving the keys to the kingdom to AEW if you keep letting these guys go. It's, Booker T had mentioned that he believes that there's still a possibility that WWE is going to buy AEW. Okay, whatever. I don't know what the fuck is that about. And, as we mentioned earlier, the Dark Side of the Ring, just to give you a quick overview of what I thought of the episode. I thought the episode was shot well, like they always do. They always know how to place certain scenarios where it's not quite the wrestler that's there, but you can see like silhouettes and shit, and that's how it works. Not to say that there was anything new that I learned of the story. I just thought Terry Runnels always comes out to be a victim. And it's always, she's always having to be the one that's like, don't sell it. Meaning, don't put it over. Don't have any reaction to what someone does to you. Twice in that episode, she no-sold something. And she's, I'm not going to sell it. But it's like, she's always a victim. And in as many cases that even her ex-husband has said that she's a real fucking bitch. So it's two sides of the story, and then there's the truth. But with her, it's always that she's a victim. That's another one. Once again, never want to take responsibility for their own fucking actions at times. But other than that, with the episode, like I said, there was nothing really, really new. We've heard most of what went down. But now you're going to get the backlash from it, because now you think that this is mild compared to what the fuck happened in the past. There's already stories about Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty H-bombing women back in their day. There's also, you know, shenanigans that went on in the back of in the locker rooms during the eras, be it whether WWF or AEW or whatever. AWA, WCW, NWO, all that shit. There's always going to be tales. Cornette even tells tales on his show of what wrestlers had done with ring rats and to each other. This is nothing compared to what's the real ugliness that is probably going to open up with Pandora's box when it comes to this. So keep an eye out for that when it comes down the line, because it's going to be a shitstorm when it goes down. I'm just going to breeze through the shows this week. I'm not going to go through it match by match. I'm just going to give you my thoughts, because honestly, it's not necessary. Not this week. Not at all. On Raw, we kick it off.
And of course, we don't have a match. We have conversations. Big E shows up, saying he's going to cash in. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we had Charlotte and Shayna. I wasn't mad at this match. I thought it was actually pretty good. And Shayna actually looked like the Shayna of old. She looked like the Shayna that I remember from NXT, not this bullshit. But once again, we got to get the story where Nia Jax has to be involved. And these two were basically giving each other, you know, some shots here and there, and it looked good. They had really good chemistry in the ring. And then once again, the end, you know, fucked it up with the sloppy finish and such. We get Alexa Bliss to come out, and she presents Charlotte with a doll, and which is the Charlie doll, which I have to say, I want one. I want a Charlie doll. It's dressed like Charlotte and looks like Lily. I want a Charlie doll. No lie. I need to get one of those. Damian Priest and Jeff Hardy was actually a really good match as well. Damian retains for the United States title. There was a nice exchange in the match. Little chain wrestling that was going on, and both men were in sync. Good match for both these guys, honestly. So are you guys who are unhappy on how Jeff was being treated, I got to say that this was a high point for him, and he looked good with it, man. We had a botched finish in a tag match with Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley versus Tamina and Natalya. We already know. We always saw the videos. Shit happens, bro. It just happens. I sound like Vince Russo when I said that. Shit happens, bro. It occurs. The botches happen, and it's you know, queued up to the ref, and then to the ring announcer or the truck in the back, and they cue the music when they shouldn't be. Look, it happens. There needs to be a better system, yeah, but this is nothing new. Then we get a Karrion Kross vignette promo, and wow, what the fuck is going on with this dude? Jesus, what are they doing to him? Yikes. I don't know. I really don't know. This is I'm borderline feeling bad for this dude, for real. And finally, we get Bobby Lashley versus Randy Orton. Bobby retains. Solid match. You got two guys who know each other, know the ring, know how to work, and two pros. Marquee match of the night. And I thought that I think it looked awesome on setting up and preparing for the Big E cash-in. Big E cashes in. And Bobby working a wounded leg. Is unable to retain, and Big E becomes your new WWE champ. Not a big fan of the cash-in when it's called out. I like the surprise when it does, but still, I'm happy for Big E, and it's well-deserved. And the man, this should have happened to him a long time ago, but now that it's here, it's here. Thankfully, that occurred.
Down south slang, music with these hustlers. Keep it true to self and never sell out with these busters. Down south slanging, rolling with these hustlers. Trying to get rid of all you haters and you busters.
I can't lie. I actually like that theme. It's probably the better theme that NXT has had in a long time. I am a fan of it. Shout out to Wale for that. That's actually pretty cool. So, like I said, just going to go through this quickly. Why the fuck would you book LA Knight versus Braun Breaker to start off the show, knowing that he was going to be in a fatal four-way later on in the night? Was there anybody else in the back you could have booked him with? Anybody. Cameron Grimes. Somebody. Anybody else. Then we have this whole thing to where now we can't acknowledge or pay homage or recognize that a wrestler has a family history in the business. What, we can't call him a fucking Steiner now? Listen, let's be clear. The kid looks fucking good. He does look good. He has the appearance. He has the body. He can move. He's a mesh of his uncle and his father. You could see it. He's gonna be okay. You know, I'm just like, this is how we kick it off with fucking LA Knight doing it. Okay, so we breeze through. We're going through the show. We're breezing through, and to be honest with you, I have to say that I don't know any of these people. Anybody who just started coming out, any of these people. I'm like, who the fuck are you? I'm supposed to care, and I don't know any of these people. And this is going to be a problem because I'm telling you, USA is going to fucking sit there and go, all right, you know, the first week numbers was high because everybody was anticipating to see what this product was going to look. And mind you, the look, the aesthetic is fine. I'm not really keen on it being that bright, but I like the way the arena looks, the rounded off setting, the multicolored kind of thing. Whatever. I know it's trying to be catching to the eye and appealing and such. I get it. But, you know, I want that still that NXT is not WWE, that it's more of a wrestling fans show. And we're not going to get that anymore. That's fucking toss out the window now. So we get this new fucking roster that's getting pulled up, which everybody's name is getting changed and we're getting new fucking gimmicks and such. This B-Fab chick, she is worse than Jade Cargill. And I can't stand Jade Cargill. B-Fab is far worse than her. Who the fuck is teaching these women? Yikes. I did appreciate the fact in the women's match that they had a woman refereeing the match. That was smart. That was cool. This Carmelo Hayes and his interaction with his boy and shit. And I'm going, it doesn't come off natural, fam. Really doesn't come off natural. It seems forced. We get the Fatal 4-Way match. Another thing that seems forced, quickly done, put together. Not to say that it wasn't good, because it was a good Fatal 4-Way match. A lot going on. After we get rid of Kyle O'Reilly and add this Von Wagner dude, who the fuck is this guy? What the fuck is this? And they're like, oh, he looks like the future. He does not. He reminds me of Lars Sullivan with hair. He's has that almost that same aesthetic. Vince loves these big motherfuckers. And I'm telling you right now, whatever the fuck happens with this show or whatever happens with the future of this company, at the end of the day, they're going to have to pay the piper when it comes to the network. Because if the numbers don't show, ratings don't show, they're going to start looking at the other product, AEW, and say, I want that show. I want us to look like that show. Why can't we have that show? Why do we have to do this Mickey Mouse shit? I want to do that. That's what's drawing ratings. That's what's getting numbers. Why can't we do that? And NXT is going to be the first one that gets hit with that shit. When USA doesn't see that the numbers are going up because of this new look that they have, this new roster, they're going to have to pay the piper and be like, listen, I want that. I want named stars. I don't want these nobodies that you're drawing names out of a hat from. Yeah, let's do that. Then finally, we had the wedding segment, which, as much as you want to peel away from this, the roster that got you over, that brought in a draw, that brought in compelling stories, that 2014 to 2019. Roster that you had there, much as you want to pull away because we didn't see so much of this silliness and goofy shit going on, nobody gives a fuck about this ridiculousness, wedding nonsense, all stage nonsense. It was probably the worst fucking thing I've seen in NXT ever. It was, I'm telling you, William Regal's face when they asked him to become the pastor after the pastor was taken out and all that shit. His face was my face for the whole segment. It was fucking awful. And I'm telling you, it's getting to a point where I'm realizing this is really not for me. This show is not for me. I'm gonna bow to what I have to, because I watch, you know, I have this podcast and, you know, I watch it in I guess in clips, or if I'm off that night, I'll watch the show, or if it's on YouTube or I can find it, I'll watch it that way. But I'm not going to sit there and rush and watch this shit because I have to. It's not going to happen if it continues to go down this road. Oh, it's fucking dreadful. So at least with AEW Dynamite, we get wrestling. Yes, we do, ladies and gentlemen. We get wrestling. So such a breath of fresh air when we could open up a show and someone is actually, there's a match and it's not a promo. It's not a long-winded area. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention about NXT with 2.0 that I did like Mandy Rose's look. She kind of got that Poison Ivy look. I forgot to mention that. So with the opening match, we get Adam Cole versus Frankie Cesarian. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We get two guys who could actually go and work in the fucking ring to start up the show. Solid match through and through. I like to say that both men, it seems as though that these guys knew each other for, you know, well enough to trust each other in the ring. They had their spots, they know how to pace themselves. And, I have to say that it was good. Then, you know, once Cole gets the win, we get the challenge. And Christian Cage and Jurassic Express will be on for next week's Rampage. MJF is always gold. JR being a part of it was a little bit weird. Then Brian Pillman finally did the flare up and ran into the ring and acted as though that he was going to be fucking kicking ass and taking names or whatever. It's something that I think should have happened last week, the week before, but yeah, whatever. Then we had the tag matches featuring FTR and such. And by the way, I'm seeing that they're really trying to put Dante Martin over, which good for him. Which, by the way, did you see the hops that the kid got? Shit. But even though FTR gets the win here, it still makes them look fucking irrelevant. I don't know. I'm hoping that maybe they'll spending their time with AEW, realizing that they need to go somewhere else. Maybe go overseas, work that out. I don't know. We get Lance Archer and Suzuki challenge Eddie Kingston and Moxley. Suzuki Gunn versus Moxley Eddie, and that'll be at Grand Slam. I'm fucking hyped for that. Guy's gonna be doing my review of that. For the next episode, I'll do it for that. Yeah, we'll do it there. Malakai Black comes out, and this segment is where out of nowhere, Rosario Dawson was there. Oh, shit. New York girl based in Jersey. Her man is a senator from Jersey. And she's also a co-host with Cody for his fucking TV show. And she did a spot. And Cody came out, and it became a whole thing. Well, good. I enjoyed that spot. Then we had the Lambert segment with Jericho. Lambert is gold. Cornette has mentioned it, but I'm going to say it as well, that Lambert has pretty much been filling the Cornette spot, his Cornette shoes, since Cornette is not going to go there. But he does a spot on job with it, man. The guy could bring the heat. Cargill and Layla Hirsch next. Layla Hirsch is just little. She's so small. Then we get the Team Taz attacking CM Punk, slamming him through the commentary table. Why would Punk take that spot? He knows he has issues with big men throwing him through the fucking table. So why take that spot? I'm confused of why would he do that. Then we get the Brian Danielson segment where he says he wants to face Kenny Omega. Then they go to back and forth, tell him he doesn't have balls. And we finally get the announcement that we're going to get Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan at Grand Slam. Now, mind you, I'm all for it because I'm going to be there and I'm going to be happy to see it. I'm with the shits. Fuck that. Give me more. But you fucking hypocrites when you talk about that WWE wants to throw shit in your face and throw matches together just to chase clout and get an audience fucking pop. But yet Yeah, AEW's doing the same shit. Right. And finally, we get John Moxley and Eddie Kingston defeating 2.0. After the match, Archer and Suzuki came out, and they all brawled. Yeah, show was, it was all right. Nothing crazy. Like I said, the only matches I really cared about was Cole and Kazarian. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Nothing really jumped out to me. But I say, whatever they announce is the lead into Grand Slam, fuck it. I'm going to be there for it, so I don't give a shit. Yeah, we're still teasing the whole Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Is he in collusion with him? Cohesion, whatever the fucking word is. If there is some cohesion with the two. But Paul, you know, he cuts his promo as he usually does. Awesome. Big E comes out, interrupts the promo, and shows off his championship win, which leads us to see Finn Balor pop up as well. And this led to a tag match between Big E and Finn Balor versus the Usos. Big E and Balor win, which led them to have a future tag team title match. I don't know how, but okay. Reasons! We get Rick Boogs defeating Robert Roode after the match. Apollo Crews and the Commander attack Nakamura. What, are we leading into Nakamura and fucking Apollo Crews again? Fantastic. Owens was supposed to face Happy Corbin, but then Corbin was attacked. Corbin attacked Owens from behind during his entrance, and I don't care. I really don't care. We get an announcement that New Day and the Bloodline will have a match this week on Raw. Now, everybody's speculating that the brand split will be over. I don't think so. This is all leading up to Survivor Series. This is all it is, because why end a brand split when you're having a draft? Dummies! Oh, unless they prove me wrong. But still, you're still having a draft, so what difference does it make? Seth made a pop up, and he mentioned that he's the greatest. He had his greatest win against Edge, and he feels as though that was his greatest match, and also that what he did was legal, and no one is to blame but the Edge fans. He does say that he's not done with him, and he has to have one more match with Edge to end a tiebreaker. See, I like that he acknowledges. We get the Liv Morgan, Toni Storm, Carmella, and Zelina Vega match that you guys all wanted, and it was shit. And you get this. Did I really care about the story about Finn Balor? I liked when Finn painted his body and did all the shit in the indies because it was cool shit, because he did the whole comic book characters and shit like that. But this demon thing, it's funny because Big Little Brother D mentioned that he's starting to look more like Boogeyman, and I'm going, yeah, he kind of is. Yeah, it really is. Anybody care about this Naomi and Sony Deville back and forth shit? Okay, neither do I. We get a promo with the mayor of Knox County, Kane, giving a homecoming celebration to Bianca. And Becky comes out, interrupts, does the whole spiel, and Becky laid out Bianca to end the show. Yeah. Like I said, there's nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. Just breezing through this fuck. Dynamite. How I miss you when I watch Rampage. Shit. Just when you think that you could go through Rampage and be like, oh good, it's a different flavor than what happened on Dynamite this past week, right? No. Lucha Bros and a Butcher and a Blade. Not a bad match though. Not a bad match. But it was still, you get the overkill, the afterbirth after the match, because then you get the Hardy Family Office attacking Lucha, but Santana Ortiz comes out. Hopefully this is leading to where we get Santana Ortiz versus Private Party at Grand Slam, because that's a homecoming. I want to see a lot of my home people. As a matter of fact, come to mention it, I want to see my boy Homicide. Shout out to Homo. I'm hoping he pops up at Grand Slam as well, because he does have a match with Minoru Suzuki at GCW on that Friday, which I'm trying to go to. So Homicide needs to pop up. I already messaged him. I said, yo, keep an eye out for me, because I'm trying to look out. I'm trying to, you know, show some love. But I do hope he pops up at Grand Slam. He didn't tell me whether or not he was, but I left a wink, wink, and an elbow. I think you're going to pop up. Anna Jay defeats Allie. Anna Jay is so good. And how the fuck did Allie get so bad? And Allie used to be so good. What the fuck happened to her? Matt Hardy and Jack Evans attacked the Orange Cassidy fan and cut his hair. I need to find out who the fuck was this dude. I know he's a plant, but I'm trying to figure out where I've seen him from. Then we get the big face-off with Ruby Soho and Britt Baker, and both were hitting each other back and forth with some shit. But by the way, I just want to say, because, you know, Britt Baker's talking about that she was stuck in that Ruby was stuck in catering and she got fired from her last gig. But I'm like, Ruby, why the fuck you just don't tell Britt Baker you couldn't even cut it in WWE? They got rid of your ass after you one match with fucking Nia Jax. That would have been a fucking heat seeker right there. By the way, just a quick, because I'm supposed to have mentioned it during the beginning of the show. The commentary team. You get Excalibur, you get Jericho, you get Taz, and you got Ricky Starks there. It's all one big fucking cornucopia of mouths talking. Jericho yelling over everybody. Taz is just doing what Taz does. Ricky Starks is just, yeah, I'm just here to take pictures, fam. And Excalibur looks like he sounded like he was fighting to get in a word in edgewise. This four-man commentary shit is not good. It doesn't work anywhere. And I don't know why they think it's going to work here. It doesn't work. Finally, we get Miro versus Fuego del Sol to retain the TNT title, in which Fuego del Sol put up his car. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Didn't even expect anything more, anything less from this. All we cared about was that you get Sammy, he does the running, which, by the way, they did the running. Finally, they did it right without hitting Sammy's theme music or anyone's theme music. You do a running without hitting theme music. Just go in the fucking ring. Makes much more sense. They did it earlier with Jurassic Express. I believe they did. I didn't pay attention. I'm not sure, but I believe they didn't hit their theme music as well. But they actually fucking did it right. Sammy, just run into the fucking ring. Don't one run past the tunnel black. Hit my music and then just keep running. No, just go do your business. But yeah, that's going to close out this week's Around the Square Circle, and as well as Turnbuckle Tabloid. As always, make sure you check us out on all social media outlets. Check us out on the like group pages on Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter, TikTok, and much, much more. Guys, also be sure you check us out on the podcasting sites. Check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com and as well as RageWorks.net. Before I let you guys go, I want to say, as always, big shout out to all you listeners, guys, who are chiming in. Numbers are growing every week for this show, man. I want to thank you guys who have been sharing, giving much love, listening, and being a part of Turnbuckle Tabloid every week. And I also want to say thank you to those who have supported us through all these years. You guys have been awesome, and hope to see you guys at Grand Slam on Wednesday as well. Show us some love. Run up on us. Say what's up. We'll be in the building, guys. Finally, as I opened with my opening salvo to my baby girl on her birthday, wish her a happy 14th and many, many more. I also want to take this time to tell you guys before we out of this place. If you are a father, if you are a mother, and you are going through those times in which people believe that teenage years is the most difficult and such, yeah, they are difficult. They are going to be troubling. They are going to have the lowest before you get to the highest, because they are going to be sitting there trying to find themselves, find out who they are, and go through their emotions. But the best thing for you to do for that is listen, pay attention, be aware of what's going on. You don't always have to be in the business, but be in the business without them knowing, and just be open to conversations, be open to dialogue, be open to what's happening in their lives, because this is the time where they're going to need you the most. Although they'll act like they don't, but this is going to be the time where they need you the most. So if you are a mother and a father and you are in that spectrum of a teenager, don't need to be their friend. Be their parent, but be their friend as well, if you get my joke. Going to wrap it up, guys. Tell you guys, this is like I said, emotional roller coaster, ladies and gentlemen. Almost teared up again. All right, guys, going to be out of here. take a bump. As always, I'm your host, Jay the Red Sun T, and I'm off the set. Later, guys. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.